Some time ago, I started a series entitled, What is Sin? And the first of the series was the sermon, What is Sin? And we found out when Jesus healed the pool at the Pool of Bethesda, He said to the paralytic, sin no more, lest a worse thing happen to you or come upon you. And so we looked at three things in that. What is sin? And we found out that the Bible clearly says sin is transgression of the law. And we all know that as Seventh-day Adventists. But more meaningful to me is John 16:9 teaches us that sin is not knowing Jesus. Okay? Amen? Not knowing Jesus. You read John 16:9. And then we looked at what is the effect of sin. We took one text, Isaiah 59:2, sin separates us from God. That's why sin is so horrible. And what is the outcome? How do we overcome sin? And we looked at Isaiah 45:22, look to me and be saved. God is inviting us to look to Jesus so that we can be saved. The second in the series was, neither do I condemn thee. And we looked at the story of the woman brought to Jesus and cast at His feet in the temple in John 8. And in John 8:11, Jesus said this, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. So notice that Christ did not come to condemn people. But unless a worse thing happened to you, stop sinning. That's what He's telling people. So we have to talk about sin. And notice this beautiful quote from the Desire of Ages. In the act of pardoning this woman and encouraging her to live a better life, the character of Jesus shines forth in the beauty of perfect righteousness. While He does not palliate sin, nor lessen the sense of guilt, He seeks not to condemn, but to save. Can you say amen to that? And so notice, the world, as this quote from Desire of Ages continues, had for this erring woman only contempt and scorn. But Jesus speaks words of comfort and hope, and the sinless one pities the weakness of the sinner. Can you say amen? And reaches to her a helping hand. Now, folks, I happen to know that this is Mother's Day, but I'm going to preach the third part in this series, the evolution of sin, because as much as I love mothers and respect my mother, the hour is late and we need to understand this stuff now. So I invite you to bow your heads with me as we pray. And then we'll begin part three, the evolution of sin. Father, in the remaining moments of this worship service, may Your Spirit be as prominent as it was at the beginning. And may You use me in spite of me to be a blessing, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The evolution of sin. Here is a very grainy picture of a recent article found in the Las Vegas Sun. I could not find it on the internet to get a better picture. But I think you see the headlines is Catholics See Confession in a New Light. And what that's a picture of, a Pope Francis actually having his confession heard by a priest in New Jersey in the sanctuary of the Catholic Church where he was at that time. And here's what the first paragraph says. One of the loneliest places in church these days is the confessional line. The act of confessing one's sins, a requirement for Catholics. I think that's kind of funny. I thought that was a requirement of Christians. Has sharply fallen over several decades with evolving views on sin. The evolution of sin, folks. And then at the very end of the article, here's two priests saying this. Prevosto gave the example... Prevosto said, Catholics are not aware that the sins that they have committed are sins. He says, in today's culture, look at it. Everything goes. Prevosto gave the example of couples living together before marriage as a situation that many people view as acceptable, even though the church considers it a sin. So does the Bible. The Reverend Paul Canigliato, I like all these Italians, this is great, of a church in New Jersey, also points out to the secularization of society as a reason. In society, quote, we have become desensitized to the reality of sin. If you don't believe something is sinful, you don't think of forgiveness. Folks, I want you to know that there is an evolution of sin that is going on, and we Seventh-day Adventists cannot afford to be part of it. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, and let's look at a story here about Saul, King Saul, and Samuel. So open your Bibles, if you would. Children, open your Bibles to 1 Samuel 15. And follow along as we read this story. And let me show you that we're coming right back to where, in our view of sin in our society, where God's people have struggled throughout these centuries. So 1 Samuel 15, and I'm going to start with verse number 1. You all have it? Children, get your Bibles. Listen to this story. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over the people, over Israel. Now, King Saul, therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel. Now, how he ambushed Israel on the way when they were coming out of Egypt. Therefore, King Saul, go, attack the Amalekites. Attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both men and women, infants and nursing child, oxen, sheep, camels, and donkeys." And so Saul gathered the people together in a big army. And if you would, drop over to verse number 7. And it says, "And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and oxen and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed." Verse 10. "Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret I have set Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he has set up a monument for himself. and he has gone on around, passed by and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed art thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ear and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. And then Samuel said to Saul, Be quiet. I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And that's when he told Saul, You're losing the kingdom. And look at verse 20. The second time in a row, Samuel said to Saul, But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Now, is there something wrong with me, or am I reading what it said? I mean, Saul is a member of the church. Saul is a leader of the church. And Samuel gives him explicit directions on what he should do, and Samuel and Saul doesn't do it, and then twice says, I did what the Lord told me to do. My friends, there's an evolution of sin going on. And I want you to know it's affecting everyone in this world, including, unfortunately, Seventh-day Adventists. And by the way, this is where the famous quote comes from when Saul says, Is God happy about sacrifices? What he wants is obedience. By the way, God loves sacrifices, but he wants it from a right motive. He wants it for those who love the Lord and who obey his commandments and not palliate sin and not blame it on other people. In fact, let's see. I better go on here. You got to read this. Listen to this. Verse 24. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord and your words because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Peer pressure. Cultural pressure. Please look at this story again and see how timely it is to all of us. You know, we're considered in this valley the conservative church. And by the way, they don't say it with pride and admiration. I'll never forget my son was coming home from Andrews on a plane his freshman year, and he happened to notice a girl that he had seen at Andrews on the plane. And he said, Where are you going? Well, I'm going to Las Vegas. I live there. And she said, Where are you going? Well, I'm going to Las Vegas. I live there. And so he said to her, Well, what church do you go to? And he told. And then she said, Well, what church do you go to? And he told. And she goes, Oh, that's the conservative church. Well, by the way, conservatives can be really obnoxious. Don't forget that. We got to shoot to be moderate. Folks, it isn't fun to be labeled. When my son told me that, I was hurt and angry. And then I realized they crucified Jesus. They accused him falsely. It is not fun to be in this position, and you and I are being put in a corner. When I get to the closing illustration, you will not believe what I'm going to tell you. But all of us are coming down to the point now where we are going to be more and more isolated if we're doing right and follow the commandments. What the Bible says in love for Jesus isn't going to keep us from being maligned, ridiculed, laughed at, and hurt. I want you to notice that it clearly states here that Saul said the Bible says specifically that they destroyed everything as God said that they weren't interested in, but if it was good, they kept it. By the way, who does that remind you of? You should say Achan, who just had to bring home one Babylonian article and one bar of gold and one bar of silver, something like that, right? When they were told, destroy everything, don't touch it, it is defiled. Don't bring it back. He did. Folks, this is a problem. Let me show you how it's pretty historical. Take your Bibles, let's go to Isaiah 5:20. Let's see what Isaiah said. And this will highlight the situation we are in now. And by the way, since it's a hot topic, folks, the situation that Noah found himself in Noah's day before the ark was finished. Notice what it says in Isaiah 5 verse 20. Look what Isaiah is saying. By the way, Isaiah is talking about the children of God. He has been sent to those of the house of God. He is not talking about the heathen. Did you see this before? Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Folks, if that isn't enough, also Ezekiel had to face the same thing. Take a look at what Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 20:26. And by the way, as we turn there and see the comparatives to our society today, remember Isaiah started the warning and Jeremiah carried it forward and Ezekiel said, it's too late, Babylon is coming. And look what he said here in verse 26, her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from the Sabbath so that I am profaned among them. Notice that when we disobey God's command, we make God profane among the heathen. And brothers and sisters, I remember when I joined this church that Adventists believed that caffeinated products, that caffeine is a drug. And now Adventists all over the place drink caffeinated drugs. You've got to see that's what we're talking about here. It's a drug. Yeah, it tastes really good. Isn't that great? And why can't I have fun like everybody else? This is what my boys used to say to me. And I told them why. Because God wants you to preserve your mind and your body to be strong and healthy and happy. And you know, I could go on with the list. I just use that because it's so blatant among us. It's incredible. Oh, a little cup of coffee won't hurt anybody. I got to wake up in the morning. And on the cross of Calvary, Jesus refused the potion that would have deadened his pain because it would have affected his brain. All of those drugs affect the central nervous system. That's the brain. They don't call the unclean unclean or make a distinction between the two anymore. It's getting really fuzzy. And so this is Mother's Day, but I want me and my people to be different. And it isn't going to be easy. We got to stick together. If I love you, I don't want to see you go the other way. And if you love me, you don't want to see me go the other way. Why? Because Jesus is coming to take those home who are waiting for Him, not those who are playing world until He comes. In fact, I'm going to go on here. Look at this. Her princes. See, we're just ripping on the priest, but look. Her princes, verse 27. In her midst are like wolves tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people, to get honest gain. And then, 28, her prophets plaster them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, "Thus saith the Lord," when the Lord has not spoken. And the people of the land have used oppression and committed robbery and mistreated the poor and the needy, and they have wrongly oppressed the stranger. And then listen to this. "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall, who would stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it." And I what? I found not one. How tragic, because we profane the name of the Lord. But also, Malachi had something to say in Malachi 2, verse 17. The last Old Testament prophet. Look what he wrote. And remember, Malachi includes prophetic utterances, apocalyptic prophetic utterances about the very last days. And here in verse 17, listen what he says. Malachi 17, chapter 2, verse 17. "You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, 'In what way have we wearied him?' In that you say, 'Everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord. He delights in them.'" Now, that may take a little time to sink in, folks, but this is calling good, evil good. This is this idea almost of once saved, always saved. This is the idea of, hey, let's not be judgmental. You know, you can't be right on everything. God has no absolutes. Ha-ha. The Bible says just the opposite. Brothers and sisters, this is serious stuff. And then we get to a letter that Paul wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. Let's take a look at that. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. And notice what Timothy said. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, love of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away." That's exhausting to read that list. Now, folks, what am I getting at here? If this is the way the world is in the last days, then we should literally have nothing to do with the world. It is influencing us, and it's affecting us, and it makes it harder to make a firm stand, because if you do, you will be mocked and ridiculed. I got a friend in California who just this week we were talking, and he said it. I didn't even ask him. He didn't know what I was preaching on. He said, in the area where I live, there's a whole bunch of churches. And he said, they ask me what church you go to, I tell them the name, and they roll their eyes. Oh, that conservative church. In a huge, densely population of Adventists, this one church is maligned because they're trying to the best of their ability follow the Bible. I hope that's what we're trying to do. And see, and then when we find out we're making a mistake, it behooves the pastor, the leaders, the church members to get together and say, let's not do that. No, let's not do that. It's wrong. But we may try something or do something that ends up wrong, and we're never going to do that again. But hopefully we won't do it. We'll catch it before it happens. But it is not fun to be singled out. It is not fun to be singled out. And finally, our good friend John in Revelation says, and you've got to have this memorized, right? And now I'm trying to remember it because I'm standing in front of you. You say that you're rich in increase of good, in need of nothing, and John writes under inspiration of the Holy Spirit that the last church will be not know that they are wretched, they are miserable, they are poor, they are blind, and they're naked. And folks, that isn't to tear your self-esteem down. That is to challenge you to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and turn to Him with all your heart, because it's the only hope we have. When we talk about sin, it's so that we understand we need a Savior. It is not to get everybody feeling guilty and so forth and so on. But that might be part of it, but that's okay too. God built guilt in us for the purpose of bringing us to Him. Instead, we get angry. That's what the world is doing, folks. We've got to put an end to it. And so, here's five prophets speaking to us about the last days. And finally, three quotes from The Great Controversy. The fantastic book for this very moment we're living. Satan is continually seeking to overcome the people of God by breaking down the barriers which separate them from the what? The world. The second one, that's page 508. 509, conformity to the world's customs converts the church to the and never converts the to Christ. Familiarity with sin will inevitably cause it to appear less repulsive. Remember in this article, we're desensitized to sin. We don't even know what sin is anymore. And finally, the last one, the line of distinction between professed Christians and the ungodly is now hardly distinguishable. I don't want that to be my life. And for your sake, I don't want it to be yours, but I want you to not want it to be yours too. So we can be different. If we were different, people would be drawn to us. But if we're just like the world, why in the world would they come here? And so hold on to your hats. Here it is. Anybody know who that preacher is? Oh, don't even try. You don't know. Eric Walsh. Public Health Director, Pasadena, California. Listen to this. Pasadena city officials placed Health Director Eric Walsh on temporary paid administrative leave Thursday. This is May 1st. After they learned of controversial statements he has made about homosexuality and evolution on online videos and audio clips. In sermons uploaded to various websites, Walsh, a Seventh-day Adventist preacher, called evolution a religion created by Satan and compares Disney to the dark empire of superstition and witchcraft and criticizes homosexuality. Walsh comments came to the city's attention after he replaced Oscar-winning screenwriter Dustin Lance Black as Pasadena City College commencement speaker, said city spokesman William Boyd. Don't lose this now. All these names. College officials said they replaced Black because they found stolen photographs of him and an ex-boyfriend engaged in acts on the internet gossip sites, according to the school newspaper, the PCC Carrier. With the college officials said, With the porno professor and the sex scandals we have had on campus this last year, it just didn't seem right that Mr. Black be the speaker, one of the Board of Trustees presidents said, and they give his name. The man's name, Fellows, was referring to a former professor, Hugo Switzer, who invited adult film stars to speak to his class on pornography and admitted to affairs with students. And so because of that incident, and they found this stuff on Black, they thought, no way, and they decided to ask Eric Walsh to speak. In a letter to the school newspaper, Black accused college administrators of attempting to shame him for his sexuality. He urged the students to speak out, and soon a member of the group of students for social justice found some of Walsh's videos online. Remember, Walsh's were sermons. We very quickly realized that there were a lot of committees that would be offended by Dr. Walsh. A lot of our community would be offended by Dr. Walsh, said Sarah Belknap, a four-year student and member of the Students for Social Justice, a group compiling a list of Walsh's controversial public statements, then published excerpts on Facebook and emailed them to media outlets. We were just so shocked that he was saying these things, said Callie Camacho, another student of the group. This was even worse to have a person... This was even worse to have this person as Black's replacement of all people. I hope you're getting this. Walsh has since stepped down as commencement speaker because of a scheduling conflict, according to school officials. School officials did not respond to calls or emails requesting comments Thursday evening. Walsh, as associate pastor of the Altadena Seventh-day Adventist Church, was hired, and get this, was hired as director of Pasadena Public Health Department in 2010, Boyd said. He also served on the city public health officer and oversaw the creation of dental clinics that serve low-income patients as well as those with HIV and AIDS who could not get care elsewhere. His department was also responsible for restaurant inspection. Walsh earned $193,000 a year. Boyd said the city placed Walsh on leave because time is needed to review the online sermons and conduct an inquiry into the ability to lead the department. Don't judge me. Don't tell me I'm wrong. And so a man who spoke what he believes to be right, and by the way, did he say it the right way or not? I don't know. Because you can say something in the wrong way. That's true. But this other guy, Black, who had all these pictures. You know, that's more acceptable than someone who condemns homosexuality, talks about Disney. And what was the third thing? Brothers and sisters, are you ready to feel really awkward and uncomfortable for your beliefs that the Bible teaches? Because that's where we're at. And if we do not have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, we will fold under the pressure the way Saul, King Saul did, the way Israel did, the way Noah's generation did. And Jesus is going to come back to an empty house. And so I had to preach this instead of Mother's Day. Because time is running out, folks. And so I ask you to make a decision today. Are you going to stand for Jesus, or are you going to buckle to the pressure, the incredible mounting pressure on all of us to conform to the society's thinking because you're out of line? Father, I pray you give us boldness with love. That we would speak the truth, but with love. And if we get in trouble for it, at least we'll know it's not because we were inflammatory. It's because they don't like what we say. And Lord, I don't know how Brother Walsh said what he said, but I pray that you be with him. As to think that a man can lose his job in this country because of a stand you take on a particular behavior, while you can have it plastered on the internet and be accepted as okay. Forgive us, Lord, that we have lost sight of what sin really is. And help us with the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome and to be more like you. Bless each person here that real decisions will be made and that we would begin to find those who are sincerely seeking for truth. So answer us now and help us, dear God, we pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.